kind of explain how you guys are doing what you're doing? How would you do?
Oh, we're playing a little bit better. You know, So I'll always take a longer-term view of the season. I know you're going to have your stretches where parts of your game are real good, and there's going to be times when you struggle. So that even keel, and I still think we've handled our adversity during the game a little bit better, and not allowed some of the negative things that happen in the game to take quite as big an emotional toll as we did early. And then when you do that, all of a sudden you have fewer negative things happening in the game. So we're competing on pucks. Systems-wise, you know, we've still got lots of room to improve, as every team does at this time of year. You're always trying to get closer to being able to replicate every puck that's dumped into your end, how you handle that over and over again. But when we haven't had it just right, we've stopped and battled on the puck and hacked and slashed and done all the things that we needed to do to just take a half-inch shooting angle off a guy to move somebody 2 feet out of position. So we've kind of fought for the ice a little bit harder.
Common theme with the players trying to explain how they're doing what they're doing is that they found an identity. It sounds like they think that identity is low-scoring, grinding games. Do you agree with that?
So that's not our end result. It's our starting point, right? So we're going to go out and try to compete as hard as we can. We don't have that puck. And not worry about trying to generate something off every moment of the game, you know. And it doesn't take your offense away. You know, we still get as much, if not more, at times. We're just not giving up as much. You know, the Tampa game, the shots were 42-27. So there's all the offense you can handle, but we were just too loose. You know, we were just forced too many issues. So it's the balance. You know, we're a little bit better balanced on the defensive side of the puck right now. And our goaltending's been real good. So any mistakes that we make, we're not answering for right now because our goaltender closes them off, cuts down on the adversity in the game, the emotional swings in the game, so you get a more consistent emotional feel throughout the course of the game. Just go out and grind it, and hopefully we can make a few plays along the way. Oh, I mean, you just got to look at the standings, right? You're 2 points away from being outside looking in, and you're not that far off the top that you can't stay excited about where you're at. It's a tough market when you're 1-4. You know, you're feeling it. So you want to make sure when we come out and say it's important that you don't get too down. It really is important that at 1-4 that the wheels don't come off, that you keep that confidence. And then when you've won some games in a row and played pretty darn well defensively in doing it, there's no guarantee. And then Pittsburgh rolls into town. So just whenever, you know, it's not getting any easier any day. So there's no room for arrogance in the NHL on a good week.
Well, you mentioned goaltending, and just, I know it's a small sample size, but have you seen something in the last half dozen or so games with Pavlik and the way that Andre's been playing, whether it be, you know, fundamentally technique, something that's changed in comparison to some of the style that we saw previous seasons?
So I have to go back. I mean, I watched them play a lot, but from my experience with Andre here, it's been very consistent with what we're doing now. So early in the year, you know, the goals that were beating him, we weren't looking at Pav saying he's got to be better. I mean, if he had grabbed half of those goals, you'd have said he played out, you know, he was incredible that night. So we were putting him in a pretty tough spot. And go back even to last year, I wasn't walking away. And one game doesn't define a goaltender or 1 week, but I didn't walk away from a lot of games going, boy, this goaltender's not delivering what he needs to. We would have asked him, and in, you know, in L.A., in San Jose, not so much here at home, Calgary game and the Tampa game, to ask him to win those games, you're asking too much of your goaltender. You're expecting too much of him to do that. So if he wins one of those games, or he goes and he plays like he did in New York, you'd say, well, there's Andre. No goaltender plays like that for 82 games. It's the average games. Like last night was a good example of it. Even one that got by him, he didn't love it, but his game never changed, and he made some good saves in the third. And that's the guy that I've seen pretty consistently here.
You've talked about, you know, his commitment to improving fitness over the summer and even just his preparation before games. The fact that he's doing that, is that a sign? And he seems to be doing it consistently, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that a sign of growth, maturity, pressure from up top? Like, what do you...
No, so the answer would be yes, but I think everybody else is doing those same things, right? So we had all of our top-end guys come back with really improved numbers based on the year prior. And that being said, there are guys like Kane and Wheeler and a few guys who were fit last year too. So it's not... So they all came back, and we've changed our scheme of how we're training off ice, how we're trying to train on ice. And everybody does their routine now. Everybody does their thing, and we have a plan in place for it. And for me, Pav, you know, he's been really good all year. For me, he was a good goaltender last year, the goaltender that I saw. There's still lots of areas that we can clean up, and then we can have a real good assessment of where we're at with everybody. But he's been good.
So you mentioned the adversity that's going to roll into town here tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What you've been doing, is that going to work without any adjustments or intensification?
Well, they're 42% on their power play on the road. So you're wondering, should you just fire it in your own net, save the 2 minutes, and see if you can use the 2 minutes to get it back? So the two elite players are extremely elite, and then they've got a lot of really good players around them. It's more than just a two-man show here. Our penalty kill's good, but it's going to have to be nearly perfect, and that may not be enough. You know, better yet, you have to stay out of the box on this team. Most importantly, stick discipline. You can be physical, but you can't have your stick caught up in guys' feet and come up on there, and you can't be out of position and then be hooking from behind against a team like that. So those kind of adjustments. It's always all the same game. It's the frequency and intensity of, you know, if you're turning the puck over against this team, you're going to have a far bigger price to pay than if you would against a lower scoring team. So the things that you have to do that we talk about every game, it's just magnified. You just can't do those things. You do them once, you're lucky to get away with it. You do it twice, you're pulling one out of your net. Well, they were really good last night. When you look at just what each line gets and what they give up, they were our best line last night. And then in offensive zone time, they had some really good chances. I see that more as two really big men and a guy that can handle the puck quite a bit. And I thought we saw that last night. So Adam will be the driver of that line at some point, center ice Menar. Dustin's played really well. I mean, he's had a lot of chances his last three games. He hasn't had much around the net to show for it. We'll need them to produce. But at the same time, I'm not looking at Adam Lowry to come in and score 25 his first year in the NHL. We need them to play the way they did last night. They're going to score enough. They're playing in the other team's end. You know, there were a bunch of physical finish checks by those guys. Lowry had three. Buff had, I don't know how many, every collision for Buff is a heavy collision. So they did what they needed to do to be effective, to wear the other team's defense down. I'm not as worried about them statistically.
With Evander, and the way he's been able to bounce back from his injury and the impact he's been able to have, but he's also got to vocalize how much he likes to score and how, you know.
Yeah. I think he has enough confidence in that he knows it's going to come. And as long as it doesn't change his game, that he starts looking for the goals ahead of the other parts of the game, he's going to be fine. He gets in on that forecheck so quick and causes so many turnovers with that speed. There's action to be had by the other two, if whether he's scoring or not. It's clearly a different looking line. It's a line you have to make decisions on as the visiting team coach. You have to be aware of their speed. We're not scoring a lot of goals right now, so we can make that argument for a bunch of guys, right? They need to get one in to feel good. But, well, if you're winning at that time, that pressure isn't nearly as great. So, sure, I'm sure they're feeling that they'd love to score, but the winning recently has allowed those guys to buy some time. He was off for a while too, you know.
Paul, how much of a difference has it made having Evander back in terms of just having the depth that you can have the top nine you want to have and play more the way you want to play.
Yeah, it's a huge impact on our game, how we look, you know, the identity of the team, big and fast, and he's the poster child for that. It also, the other guy included in that would be Mike Frolik. You know, we lost two of our top six in the opening night, and we felt that throughout the lineup. And it allows Adam Lowry to be a better player because he has Dustin Byfuglien now, and there's another center iceman on that line that can win the draws, which lets me put them on the ice all over the place, so I don't have to worry about them as much in the defensive zone. So, yeah, Evander, and that would be true, though, right, of any team. If you take two of their top six wingers off, they're just, you know, it puts people in, it changes your depth, it changes what you can do with your lines, where you put them on the ice, it changes everything.
What's the most underappreciated facet of Brian Little's game?
I think it's his compete. You know, I mean, his numbers every year are really good. He's a skilled guy and a creative guy. But he's a big part of our penalty kill, you know, and as a centerman, you're working down low in your own end, your D-zone coverage. So we've gotten to be a little better defensive. Well, we're quite a bit better defensive team in our understanding of what we're trying to do to down low. But what I've noticed about him, I get to see these guys practice every day, so I get a really good handle on the guys that are drivers every day and the guys you got to get to a little bit. And he goes. For a guy who's not real big, he practices hard. He practices quick. He's an intense guy. Not long-winded, to say the least. But I've even heard him talking recently. It's been good.
Just on the word practice, any update on Peluso and what his status is here?
Yeah, he's cleared. Ready to go. Yeah, we have everybody cleared right now. Just the schedule and the level that we have to work at to play our game, we just can't practice them as much in a schedule like this. It's going to happen again when we go back out in the road. We'll get more practice time in December, but it's going to happen again in January. I mean, we've got a tougher stretch of games in January. We're just not going to be able to practice our team.